Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. I like to do is the brother will read one verse, sisters will read the second, the following verse, and up to verse 24, we are all read together. Okay? Okay? My sister will go first. Ladies first. Okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Brother. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God, to the ignorance that be in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That ye may not so learn Christ. That ye put off concerning the conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your grace, thankful for this wonderful time that we can come together to worship you, to learn of thee. Father, we pray that I'll use your own words to encourage us to be like thee. Help us to have a new life, to put on a new life so that, Lord God, we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you again for your presence. May you continue working our heart. Help us out to center our thoughts and minds on Christ and Christ alone. Thank you for your wonderful word. May you reveal your truth to us. May you use your servant to deliver your truth. And pray, Lord God, help us what we say, what we hear today, will bring honor to your own name. And I pray for one soul that has not come to be. We pray that this one soul may be saved today. And pray, Lord God, your words may touch on the hearts of Christian, even non-Christian. Thank you again for your presence. Thank you for your promise. Do all three together in your name. You will be in our midst and do wonder to glorify your own name. And we pray in the wonderful name, Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Okay, I was able to share during the Sunday school. Okay, actually it's kind of in line with the continual thoughts that we have on this, that God's wrath. Okay, I want to pay attention to one verse in verse 17. In verse 17, this I say, therefore. Therefore, you see, whenever you see the word therefore, okay, you should stop and see what it is there for. It's not therefore, it's what is there for. The words calls our mind back to what Paul was teaching about our high calling in Christ, definitely, because in verse 1 to verse 16 of chapter 4. Yeah, it's a high calling. We are not to be like the lost. We are not to be like the pagan Gentiles who live around him. He reminds us again in verse 1 to verse 3 that salvation by grace, our calling to salvation by grace. Then he reminds us in verse 3 to verse 6, because I'm not touching that, okay? But it reminds that unity in the body of Christ. It's very important as you read the unity, okay? And in verse 7 onward to verse 10, okay, it's a unique gift our unique gifting given by the Holy Spirit. God, how the Holy Spirit give us gift. Okay, to serve the Lord in His church for His glory. Again, we serve in the church for God's glory. Not for brother Sue's glory or your pastor's glory. You serve in the ministry, it's not for anybody's glory, but for God's glory. Okay? Especially in the and in verse 11 to verse 6, okay? In verse 11 to verse 6 is the how God used the gifted individuals in the church to build up the foundation of the church. And I want you to pay attention before I go to the main proper of this message here. In verse 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some what? Pastors and teachers. While I was reading through and reading through this, God has called me to be a Sunday school teacher. I read this, and He's not talking about a Sunday school teacher. He's talking about a pastor who is a teacher too. It's grouped together. We have the prophets, the apostles, we have the evangelists, we have the pastors. Pastors is apt to teach. So I thank God when someone is called of God to serve the Lord, he's either called to be a pastor or evangelist. He's never called to be a Sunday school teacher. But, brother, so you, I'm serving in the Sunday school ministry, I'm serving in the bus ministry, I'm serving the children ministry. Isn't that God called me to do it? No, that is my responsibility. Every one of us has a responsibility to serve in the church. But I thank God, okay? God give church of pastors, maybe evangelists, to lead, to help people, to teach people to grow in the Lord so that they can be a help in the ministry, doing their part in the body of Christ. Okay? So, but as we read to this today's verse 17, this I say, therefore, testify in the Lord. And I, therefore, I want to call to you and the title of this sermon is A New Walk for a New Life. A New Walk for a New Life. Paul issues some specific challenges for all those who are saved, actually. And he starts verse 17, he sways to the public, to the Christian, the group of Christians. The challenges to teach us how to walk, how are we to be different. Because you read in verse 20, okay, but ye have not so learned Christ. Ye have not learned so Christ. You must be different. A new walk, a new life. Okay? And I thank God for the church here. Okay, we are called, we are reconciled to God. We are reconciled to God. The moment we are reconciled, do you remember the day we are saved? The day you are reconciled. The day you are saved, you are made a new creature. And you are made to walk in a new life. Not going back to the old life. No more. No more. No looking back anymore. Go look forward. Okay? And I thank God in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, following on, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things become new. I thank God, God wants us to become new. He doesn't want us to go dwell on the old things. And as a result of that new birth, we are not what? We used to be. We are no longer to live. We used to live. We have been changed. Are we changed? Question. We are to be different from the world around, but we are not a strange group. I say again, we are a unique group. So when Paul was writing to these Ephesians, Ephesus Christians, it's very clear and say, you all must be different. Because you are a new creature. And there's three specific problems that plagued the lost in the city of Ephesus. That's why he came in verse 17, later part, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. In what? In the vanity of the mind. There's a problem with their heads here. Just walk in the vanity of your mind. The vanity means emptiness or futility, which is wasted on nothing, in an English sense. Their minds are corrupted by the inborn sin that dwells within them. Thus, every thought is corrupted for sure. That's not what we talk about corruption. It's the moment they read in corruption, they were continuous in corruptions. Okay, the lost mind invent way to serve the flesh. And their mind was thinking how to satisfy this flesh. They have a problem with their heads. In Proverbs 16, verse 25, Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He think, where's the best way to go? The best direction to go in life? How shall I accomplish my life? But Bible said, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just now we were reading in Romans chapter 1, and you want to verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I thought about reprobate. I say again, it refers to a depraved mind. This word was used to describe a matter that was tested, rejected by the refiner because they were too impure. God does not accept those things that impure, that is not clean, perfectly clean. And we know that reprobate minds are imperfect. They are useless. They are worthless. So the unbeliever had a problem in their mind. His mind is depraved. But we are saved. So we must not have a mind of a unsaved. Because we are saved, we are to be different. No choice. In verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. The word blindness refers to stubbornness. Stubborn. Speak of a heart confronted with truth, but which refuses to embrace the real truth. Stubbornness. Brother so is stubborn. And you tell me something that is true. I say, no, I cannot accept it. I think most of us are stubborn. I thank God, God has changed us. Because He changed our heart. But the old man last time was stubborn. Okay? There's a problem with the heart. We need to change the heart. Okay? In Romans chapter 1 verse 18, it says that For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. With the word hold here, hold the truth, is which means to oppress. Not to hold, but to oppress. Go against the truth. That is the word hold. In an actual sense meaning. It speaks of those who hear the truth, know the truth, refuse. I'm going to compress, oppress it. Because the stubbornness of our heart. Okay, last time we were separated, I thank God. God softened your heart. God has already softened your heart. You have willingly put your stubbornness, Lord. Here am I. My stubbornness, take away. That's my sin. And God has softened us. But those who still is stubborn in the heart, okay, they are separated from life that could be theirs in Jesus Christ. They remain trapped in darkness. Darkness. Depravity of their, and also in the depravity. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, see, you had he quickened last time. Who were last time? Dead in trespasses and sin. We are dead in trespasses and sin. Wow. You know that the human race did not merely get sick when Adam sinned against God. The human race died. Because in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned against God. In this dead state or depraved state, okay, last time, okay, the Lord's life will live for nothing but to gratify the lust of his flesh, the mind also. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 to verse 3, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all have our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as I did last time. Those who have not claimed Jesus or and receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, they are this. They are still walking in the course of this world. Their understanding is darkened. Is darkened. You study the words, the word itself, okay? And the phrase itself is perfect participle. Who's English teacher here? I know the most English. Perfect participle. This means that the lost life in a continuing state of spiritual darkness and ignorance. Still continuing. Until the day you save. That is different. So since they are dead, they are unresponsive to the things of God. They are like a cold, immobile corpse. We can neither see, hear, feel, or think. Can you see a dead corpse? See something or feel something? You poke the thing, dead corpse is still, say, so painful. No way. You have no feelings. You can think. Because they are dead, because they are alienated from the life of God. Bible says that. Very strong. But we are saved. We are not alienated from the life of God. We are related, closely related. We are part in the life of God. Okay. People are moved by the truth. Okay. I'm faced by the matter of right and wrongs. They love dark. They pursue the works of darkness. But that's not us. Not us anymore. We should pursue what? Righteousness. Light. So we are to be different. Because in 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And, he emphasizes here, the word you end, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Remind us again and again that our sin has been cleansed. So, you have to walk in the light because Christ is in the light. But this group of people that's around, living around this Ephesus Christian, they have problems with their heart. But Paul is reminding the Ephesians, you are different. Your heart must be different. And you come to verse 19, who in past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. There's a problem, I think, with their action, their hands. Anyway, because the laws are dead, they are said to be past feeling, okay, have lost their sense of pain. So they go to wanton sensuality in lasciviousness. So I do what I please, when I please, with whom I please. I don't care what anyone says or thinks about it. This is typical. They're going to do it. It's a life given to open sin, they say that. So they work all uncleanness. They work hard. They work very hard with their hands or actions. They don't care about God's stuff. Most of all, they do all this with greediness. It's simply that he does what he does for self-gratification. In other words, he's his own God, try to worship himself, satisfy himself, everything for himself. Self. I dare to say, sometimes we Christians behave that way. Okay. I'm going to heaven, that's all, I'm satisfied. My friend, whether they go to heaven is their problem. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to enjoy eternal life with God. That's what God, Christ come for. Came down to this earth to save me. He forgot that Christ came down to save the world. Every individual, our relatives, our friends. We have to be different. We should not have this selfishness. The saints of God are to be different. When it comes to verse 20 to 21, but ye have not so learned Christ, praise God. Christ is our example. The laws are motivated by their lust. We are motivated by Lord Himself. Paul holds Jesus Christ up against the backdrop of sinfulness, wickedness of this world, and the contrast could not be greater.
He put Jesus Christ here. Again, see sin. Wow. You see Jesus Christ? He's my example. The phrase learn Christ refers to being saved. You mean saved, then you can learn. You are not saved, you cannot learn him. Many people have come to me and say, I can learn about Jesus Christ through the Bible. I say, praise the Lord. But you have not truly learned in your heart about Jesus Christ till the day you are saved. Unless you are saved, then can you be able to learn of Jesus Christ. Learn of Christ, that means he changed us. That's called, it's learn Christ. You have learned Christ, this, the point is to learn Christ, present tense. It is learned Christ, past tense. You have already embraced him and you know him well. That's why you learned Christ. If someone claims to know Jesus Christ as a Savior, still live like the world, they are either deceiving themselves or they are lying. There are many of them in China. There are many in Shanghai Shalom Baptist. I don't know. You can see when they get saved, wow, they were so energized initially. And after that, they fade away. They drift into the world. Maybe they are lying to themselves or deceiving themselves. Listen to the word of God, okay? In James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God. The moment you lean to the world, you are enmity to God. Bible says. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Stronger and stronger. Like the truth, very hard to accept. You know what's hard to accept? You mean I cannot get involved in the world stuff? Yes. You can get involved, but you don't love it. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. You see, friendship of the world. He never said, join the world's activities or maybe programs. No, you see, friendship of the world. You make so friendship that you neglected Christ. It's enmity with God. Whosoever be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You never said we cannot work in the public sector. Even private sector. No, can I say that? He just said, friend of this world. See, our mind, our thoughts, and everything, are we friends of this world? Sometimes we are. Be careful. God doesn't like us. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Then, if we keep his commandments, all his commandments, by the way, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. For whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. See, perfected, they will continue perfecting. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Wow. He said that he abide in Christ ought himself to walk now as he walked. What pastor the day we accepted Jesus said, yes, Lord, I'm going to walk in your path. Continue. You see, Christ is my example.
It's your example.
Paul was trying to tell them.
The born-again believer should strive to be like Christ, discerning the way he walked from what the Bible teaches by how the Spirit through the Word of God leads us.
This will produce a life that's differently, that lives in sin.
Only then our life is pleasing to God.
Many times we say, like, God pleasing. You're God willing, then I'll do this because God, you're pleasing my God.
If we have that mind, praise the Lord. We are thank God. God is in me. God is beside me. God is in front of me. God is in heaven. But the Holy Spirit dwells in us.
He's with us. The moment we know that our life will please Him, whatever we do, we can please Him, that means the Spirit is telling us, do something that's right. I think many a time when we faced with a decision, Lord, am I supposed to do this? This neither right nor wrong. But overall, does it please God? You go left, it might please God. Right, it might please God. But more important, when please God, it does please also, does it a testimony for Him? When it's a testimony, I praise God, it will please Him. His name is glorified.
It is a result of a life that is pleasing to Father and the one that emulates Jesus Christ in the world. It is when, because God can remind us again in Bible, actually in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Wow. He is my example. Okay. I hope he will be some main example. Many people say, well, Paul is my example. Stephen is my example. Okay, yes, Stephen was once my example. In Acts, you can see how he cried to the Lord. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. It's my example. I should be following him. No, really, I should be following Christ. He's the ultimate example. Because Stephen was looking at Jesus Christ. He did not learn from himself. No, because Christ is perfect. Then Paul would say, I emulate Jesus Christ. So learn of me. Because I learn of Christ. Learn of me. Because ultimately it's Jesus Christ that makes him different. We are to be different through Christ, our example. Christ is our educator in verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, have been taught by Christ has taught us the truth. He has brought us out of death into life. He has placed all us on a different path. He did not put us back on the old path. He has educated us. Tell you, go on the right path. Okay. We have been taught as a result. We have been changed by the power of God. Question I'm going to ask everyone, including myself. Have I been changed by the power of God? Has Jesus Christ educated me and change me to walk on the right path. When Christ came to us, he brought with him knowledge, truth. He taught us the truth by himself, God the Father, his Spirit, heaven, hell, sin, salvation, and so forth, through his own word. And he wants us to remind us we are no longer in the dark. We are now to walk in the light. And Christ has taught us the truth. In John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you all into all truth. Not part of the truth, but all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, talk about Holy Spirit, but whatsoever he shall hear, Jesus Christ's Spirit, okay? He shall hear from Jesus Christ, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Wow. Well, he was talking to John anyway. Really he's talking to John. John just wrote Revelation. But application to us now. By the way, his truth will set us free. In John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the question here, you know the truth, but you don't dwell in the truth. Can he make you free? You cannot be free. You can know everything, but yet not apply. Will not use. It's useless to you. So, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set make you free. And when the truth shall make you free, shall make, will make, okay? In a way, if only you apply on it. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, consider this. And we know that Son of God is come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, emphasis again, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We know the Son of God is come and have given us understanding. So you see, we are to know Christ. Christ is our example. Christ is our educator. Let him educate us. Let him change us. Change us. But if you have not opened your heart to him, he can't change you. I thank God he never forced, gee, why you better learn of me, not I crush you. No, he will not do that. He gave me freedom. He gave me choice. I think my God is who's long-suffering, a great God of grace. He keep on giving chance. Okay. You want, I give to you. You want to be educated, I will teach you with my words. Come to me. And I thank God, we must be different from the lost who are around us. We are to be discerning, learning all that we can from Lord Jesus Christ himself. We learn of Jesus Christ not through hearing a special voice, no. We learn of Christ from his word. He speaks to us through his words. He never speaks with a still small voice. Jiwa. No way. I know some preachers say, well, the Lord God spoke to me last night. I say, yeah. Do you see him? Yes. See. What was the appearance of Jesus Christ? Wow, so shining. Okay, so shining. What was he wearing? White clothing. How was his appearance? How is his face? Was so bright, was so handsome. I stopped there and there. I said, sorry, that's not your, that's not what Jesus of the Bible. There's some difference. Other Jesus, maybe. Okay? Hair long or short? Wow, quite long, no? Like a photograph on the wall. I see.
Wow, that last time the technology was so high. Last time they had camera ready. They took picture of Jesus Christ. I said, sorry, Jesus Christ wore short hair. So they can give strange. They said they heard from Christ. I said, sorry, that is not Jesus Christ. My Jesus Christ speak through this word. Now, he has stopped talking through vision anymore. I believe that. It's true to the word of God. That's why the time you read his word, he's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. You have to be educated, his word. You have to be trained, his word. No other things. We are to be different. Yes, Bible college is good. I encourage you all. You can go to Bible college, can go. But first, be grounded in this church before you go there. They teach nonsense sometimes. They include subject that is worldly, not from the word of God. How are you going to be discerned? Unless you dwell in God's word and words alone. When he says something that is against the Bible, you can say, but sir, professor, but the Bible says, that is more important. So you need to be educated in the word of God, no matter where you are. I encourage the people to sometimes when I say something, use the word of God. If I really violate the principle of the word of God, he can come and say, I violate. Show me from the word of God, from my action. It's very important that we must know, be educated, be discerning. Okay? Now let us verse 22 to 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupted. Put off. Okay, there's three actions as you continue. In verse 23, okay, verse 22 is put off. Verse 23 is be renewed. Verse 24 is put on. Well, these are not commands. It's not command, say, you must know. These are actual statements of fact. Each of these statements refer to what the Lord did in us when he saved us. We are reminded what he did so that we can every step to ensure that each of these conditions is an active reality in our life day by day. Yes, in verse 22, there's something to renounce every day. The phrase put off means to strip away. It's an image of taking off clothes that's dirty, corrupted, filthy, and he was actually stripped off the day when we are converted. We are be sure that we remain stripped off. How to remain stripped off? We know that we are living in reality, right? We are facing challenges each day. But I thank God, God is able. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, verse 18, this I say that walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to another, to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. You will overcome the law. You will be overcomer of all this law. You see, we need to walk in the Spirit. Bible say that. But some Christian will remain say, well, we are still under the law. We still are subject to that law of the flesh. But naturally, in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, verse 25, they are read, as you pay attention, read, for we know that the law is spiritual. But I am carnal, so under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Against the law. The law is good. Now then, it is no more that I that do, but sin dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which good, I find not, if I'm using my own strength. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's a struggle. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my member, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me to captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of the sin. This is the well. The old man remains alive, sin. Well within each of us. This old man is getting on to corrupt us. If we are not careful, we'll be enslaved by him. Thank God, God has delivered us. Why go back to the old way? So, in our Christian life, okay, yeah, there's something to renounce. But we must make that decision. God will not push you to make that decision. God will encourage you, educate you. Okay, you have to make that decision personally. We need to reckon the old man dead to sin. In Romans 6, verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, praise God, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have to reckon, you have to make that decision decisive. You come to verse 23, there's something to renew. The sin of God is to walk with a renewed mind. When the Lord saves us, He makes us alive in Christ. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Wow. That is passed from death unto life. Death unto what? Life. Not death unto death, but death unto life.
In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Wow. When we were dead in sin, past tense also quickened us or received us together with Christ. So part of our new life involves renewing of our mind. Definitely. We are to walk each day having our mind renewed by the Word of God. Encouragement is the Word of God to renew our mind. We need to renew. We have to strip off. Yes, we need to strip off. Only the power of the Word of God we strip. And how to be renewed is through the Word of God, so by the Spirit. In Romans 12, verse 2, Bible say here, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you transform? Renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. I believe we can get our minds right. I dare to say, minds right. Thinking's right. Our life will be right. If our thinking is set on the right path, we will be on the right path. If our thinking put on the path, the wrong path, we will be a path to trouble. Well, they say, but so you think, see, because you think, no. I say, you think on God. You'll be on the right path. You think of the world, you'll be on the wrong path. But you see, it's depending on you and me to make that decision. Almost each day, every second, every minute, the moment you look, either you do this, Lord, I want to do this. It's in your mind, Lord, I'm going to do this. It is helpful to another Christian. Or you say, because, Lord, I need this for my own self-gratification. I need this. It's no good. Same, you can see, because this becomes worldly, and one is godly. So we must decide. So we have to make a decision. Bible in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. We have to be decisive, take control of it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. You bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thinking, everything's decision to be made. Oh, Christ. God, does it help so-and-so to get saved? It's my testimony. My action, my testimony will help this guy to know Jesus Christ. To the obedience of God. In Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if any be praise, think of these things. Wow. If there be any virtue, if there any praise to God, think of it. This is something, okay, to renew. How to renew? Renew your mind. Think of it, think of God, think of God, think of God. In verse 24, and that ye put on the new man.
See, when you strip off, you need to put on. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need to put on. This new holy man was born in us when we were saved. Okay? When we are created, we are given the ability to live the life that is pleasing to the Lord. Just now we were in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are made a new creature. A new creature loves the Lord. He loves the things of God. He desires to serve the Lord. He has been empowered to walk in the will of the Lord. So we allow, we are responsible to let this man out. So the new man, put on the new man. Paul said, the new man, which is after God, is created. This phrase literally means that the new man was made in the likeness of God. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You are made in the image of the true and righteous God. When Adam sinned in the garden, he marred the image. He passed the sin down. When we were saved, we are recreated in Christ in the likeness of God Himself. And I thank God we are made partaker of His divine nature. 2 Peter verse 1 to verse 4. Partakers of the divine nature. This new man that we have is literally Christ who lives in us. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Although this is a saying of Paul, and we should be like him. We are not perfect, yet perfect, but we have been changed. We have not been given all that we need to live life, but we are given the weapon to live, the method to live through the Word of God. We are to allow Him to walk in us. So, A is something to reveal Christ in your life. Can we do that? Last question. Can we reveal Christ in our life? Or we reveal the devil in our life? Sometimes more than others, we reveal the devil in us. Satan, look at the world. If that is Christianity, I don't want to be a Christian. People said that. On Sunday, it's a holy Christian. Wow, he go to church. Morning to the evening, wow, the church must be very active. He was active in church. But Monday to Saturday, it's no different from us. Why should I be a Christian? Because that man, they believe Christ. They were put on a new man. They were put on. We must no longer walk in the rags of sins. We must decisively put off the old man of sin and put on the new man who is made in the likeness of God. I thank God. God willing to help us. God is there all the time. He never leave nor forsake us. He wants to help us. Okay? How are we doing in the business of being different? How are we doing
in the business of discerning, learning, and learning from Christ, following Christ? How are we doing in the business of decision making? Can we honestly say that we are living a life that is different from the world around us? Can we honestly say that our life displays Jesus Christ to the world? Can we honestly say, Lord, I need to talk to you? As a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your grace, thankful for your truth. Help us to strip off our old self. Help us to be renewed in our mind. Help us to put on a new man. Lord, we know it's a challenge in our lives. I do not know the needs of the people here, but thou knowest. May you grant them the willingness to come to you, to ask for the power, the strength, to strip off, to renew, and to put on Christ and Christ alone. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your words. Okay, while your eyes remain closed, I'll hand this time into your pastor.
Eyes closed, heads bowed. Is anyone who would say, thank God for the simple message about how after we are Christians, God says we're a new creature, and as a result, because we are a new creature, there needs to be a change in our lives. So I just want to ask, is there anyone whom the Lord has spoken to whereby you said deep down in your heart you know that, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm just doing what I want, and I'd like the Lord to do something in my life? Is there anyone like that? And just put a right hand, I'll pray for you. Ask God to work in your heart. Is there anyone like that? I'm a Christian, but you know, my life is just the same. You know, my thoughts are the same, my desires are the same, and I don't seem to have an increased love for God. It's just doing the same thing. When the Lord Jesus comes into your life, His Word, His Spirit is within us, and Christ wants to change us. Is there anyone who will say, I understand the message, it's a simple message, but I believe God wants me to walk in Him, to be renewed in Him, so that I can grow? Is there anyone like that? Amen. I see that hand. Just put it up and pull it down and pray in your heart. Amen. I see those hands too. Is there anyone else? I want Christ to not only renew my inside, but I can actually show the characteristic of Christ in my life to others. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we pray for everyone who has put up their hands. Father, they have heard the simple message from your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is so simple that even a child can understand. Yet so deep, Lord, that even the professors of this world will never fully understand. But we thank you most of all that you are able to make your truth applied to our own hearts, that we will understand. Father, I pray for everyone who has put up their hands. I pray that you firstly give them the realization, Lord, that when they have trusted Christ, they have the power of God in their lives to change, the Holy Spirit to guide them, the Word of God to educate them, other Christians to encourage them, the church to provide a place for service. Lord, there are opportunities. But I pray, Lord, I pray for these brethren who have put up their hands, that God, their lives will change from glory to glory, step by step, every day of their lives. They will see their lives changing from glory to glory. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in these brethren's lives. Some of us struggling, Lord, with sin. Some of us struggling with thoughts that are not right. Some of us struggling, Lord, with actions of our lives. Some of us struggling with things which we're wondering, why don't I have the power? Father, help us to realize the power comes from the Lord Jesus. And when we listen to Him, when we obey Him, when we yield and submit to Him and allow His Spirit to control us as we obey your word, Lord, you are able to help us to overcome. And so, Father, I commit this group of people who have put up their hands. Lord, may you strengthen them, that in the next few weeks, Lord, their lives will begin to change, and people will begin, in fact, right now, Lord, as they make a decision, I know that your Holy Spirit is able to make that change. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen every brethren. For those who are still struggling, Father, as Christians, I ask you to build them up. And for those who have been aiming and striving to walk with you, I pray you strengthen their walk, that their light will shine brighter, Lord, in this dark world. And Father, I want to thank you for what you're going to do in Ambassador as a whole. We know, Father, that the truth of God will always remove error and build up the believer who seeks your truth. So, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. As we just sing the closing hymn, I ask you to help us to realize Christ lives in us. I will thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please.